Jesus said, "Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me." Taken from John 14:11 that we had in last week's gospel lesson. And in today's gospel lesson, we have the continuation of this farewell discourse of Jesus, which continues next week as well. But this morning, Jesus says to his disciples very lovingly, "Because I live, you also will live. And on that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." The reality of Jesus' words here is tremendous for us and cause to celebrate. Not just one day, but each and every day. As one of the great doctors of the church, St. Athanasius, has said, "The risen Christ makes life a perpetual feast." To the younger generations, that translates to, "In Christ, life's a party." Now, this doesn't mean that there hasn't been and won't be dark times for those whose lives are hidden in Christ. This coming week in the church calendar, we will recall the events of the ascension, wherein Jesus leaves this world in bodily form until he comes again in the clouds with great power and authority. And I can't say for sure, but I would think that as Jesus says goodbye once again to his disciples, they are left feeling alone and in a dark place, walking in the valley of the shadow of death, thinking that life is all but a fabulous party because they've just said goodbye to their Lord and Savior. Rather, feeling more like sheep without a shepherd, right? Scratching their heads, trying to understand how exactly Jesus was going to be in them as a father is in him when he is leaving them to go up and be with the Father who's in heaven. Now, before we throw up our hands saying, wait, we know what's going on here, and those disciples are pretty thick. They weren't listening to Jesus. Jesus said it straight, plain, forward. We know what's going on here. Well, of course we do. We're on the other side of the picture, right? We have the advantage because we have that fabulous book over there. Then it says everything we need to know. And we also have some fine preaching, Father Joe. And we have some fine teaching with Skip and other people in the parish. So we know that this week when we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension, that 10 days after, the Holy Spirit will be given, just as Jesus said would happen. And at that time, the disciples probably weren't so sure of what to expect. And just as we would do, they tried their best to understand what they could, and then took all the rest on faith, believing that in the end, God had it all under control. And still, today, more than 2,000 years later, we, the followers of Jesus Christ today, are still muddling through some of those things that we don't fully comprehend. And at times feeling on the edge of what we think we know or used to know before we went to one of those Bible studies or heard a fabulous sermon from one of your clergy. As we teach, as we preach, as we think about and talk about all the things of God, of Jesus, of the Holy Spirit that have been revealed to us through Scripture, through reason, through church tradition. For example, how exactly do we fully understand that God is one God and at the same time three persons? It's been said that the preacher who gets Trinity Sunday in a larger church, they drew the short stick. And when they're walking that line, they will probably unintentionally flirt a little bit on the edge of heresy as they attempt to try to explain how exactly it all works together. Whether the teacher or the preacher gravitates towards St. Patrick's illustration of the shamrock, or maybe the more today example in our kitchens with a home lovely chicken egg, or maybe a geometric shape. They're a teacher and they're thinking about a triangle. And all these are imperfect illustrations that we use. They can surely be poked full of holes as we try to explain with our limited understanding the truths that we know in our heart. The truth that we know that there is this bond that exists of an eternal loving relationship within the Holy Trinity, where God is Father, God is Son, God is the Holy Spirit, and where the Father is not the Son, and the Son is not the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is not the Father. One God and three persons. Are we all clear? And no, I don't have my feast days mixed up. I know this is not Trinity Sunday. But I bring it up because just as the disciples wrestled with much of what Jesus taught them, so we also wrestle with knowing and understanding the things of God and the relationship that we have with him, with them, with the one God of this world who exists in three persons. And that's okay. That's okay to wrestle with that. And now to muddy up the waters just a little bit more for all of us this morning, it is this eternal loving relationship within the Holy Trinity, is a triangle, is my favorite, within the Holy Trinity, that Jesus says in our gospel lesson that we are able to enter into. And we enter into it through his sacrifice that he made on the cross once for all. It is through our trust, through our obedience in Jesus as Lord and Savior, says Holy Scripture, that we and all who choose to believe find ourselves smack dab in the midst of this abounding love of God found in the Holy Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it is here that we find and operate ourselves being covered by the Lamb. We find ourselves within a whole bunch of God's love. His compassionate love, his grace-filled love, a love that is faithful, a love that is forgiving, a love that is filled with the fruits of the Spirit, a love that always trusts, always perseveres, always rejoices, where we exist as much-loved sons and daughters adopted by God the Father. And it is in this place that Jesus' words ring true for us this day, as they did for the disciples on the day of Pentecost, where Jesus says, "On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you." And when we really grasp it, all we can do in heart, mind, and soul is to break out with that wonderful Beatles song, "Love, Love, Love." You all know it. For on that day, the day of Pentecost, which in our church calendar is only 15 days away, this Thursday being Ascension, the Sunday after next, the day that the disciples find themselves being drawn out of the darkness and into the light by God's unchangeable, unmatched, incomprehensible love at Pentecost. And boy, was it one heck of a party. I'm sure Father Joel will tell us all about that when he preaches on Pentecost. For as the promised Holy Spirit is given at Pentecost, every believer there begins to speak in another tongue. They're burning, they're exploding, they're emulating the power and authority of Christ himself as they stand in the presence of the Almighty, having been covered by the blood of the Lamb, and now laying hold of their birthright as adopted sons and daughters of God, and able to enter into this intense relationship that we have spoken of between God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, as we know it, the Holy Trinity. And beloved, if we allow it through our faith, through our obedience, through our walking skin to skin close to Jesus in the Holy Spirit, we will find ourselves in the same place as the disciples did, having this tremendous party, having this place where we are filled with the same power, the same authority, by virtue of having given our life over to God and being hidden in the Son. For that's where we find the great love for us from the Father. This, beloved, is at the very heart of who we are as an Easter people, where in every day, even upon our death, we will be found singing Alleluia to the Lamb, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who by his death and rising from the grave has given us life and life eternal, bringing earth to heaven, bringing heaven to earth, in which we exist in this perpetual feast within the kingdom of God. So on the sixth Sunday after Easter, as we approach the commemoration of the Lord's ascension into heaven, we recall the truth of the matter, that Jesus' departure didn't bring about his absence. It's just the opposite. For with his departure, the gift of the coming of the Holy Spirit happens, who falls on all who would believe, and they have something even greater than walking in the physical with Jesus as disciples did. They have the ever-renewed presence of the Son of God through the power of the Holy Spirit. And they're able to walk, we're able to walk, in the authority of Christ himself, and to do far greater things than these, said Jesus, do far greater things than anyone has ever seen. By the blood of the Lamb and by his powerful name, Jesus, who will come again, coming with the clouds, says Holy Scripture, where every eye will see him, even those who have pierced him, and all the peoples of the earth will mourn because of him. So shall it be, says Holy Scripture. Amen, amen. We're not done. So what can we say? So what can we say that has been said already? Let us all see. Let us all see with the eyes of our heart what great love the Father has lavished upon us, that we should be called children of God, for that is what we are. And that's why we celebrate. That's why we give thanks. And as we stand with Christ, as we stand in Christ, as we stand buried with Christ, and choose to put on Christ every day as we put on our very clothes, we will celebrate this perpetual feast as we live and move, having our very being within the kingdom of God, where we exist with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And we continue to find blessing and find healing and strength for the journey of which we all differ, and yet we're all the same. And we'll find everything that we would need, that we will be filled abundantly with the love of the Father, and others will be blessed as we walk hand in hand with all those outside these doors. We are blessed that we would be a blessing. The love of the Father. Amen.